Today I thought we talk about the continuation of the series regarding the movement of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. I think one of the most extraordinary things, one of the most extraordinary qualities of the movement of Imam al-Hussein, and I think we've mentioned this before, there isn't a single aspect in it that we can't relate to. Every detail of the movement of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the events of Karbala, everything that happened before, everything that happened after, can be and is a life lesson for us if we pay close attention. And rightly so, because the event of Karbala and this movement of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam isn't this tragic yet, you know, semi-random thing that happened approximately 1400 years ago to the grandson of the prophet of a nation. And we're going to cry our hearts out every year because he was just such a wonderful person. It was such a shame that he was murdered like that. To look at Karbala like this is extremely basic. It's an extremely basic, almost unintelligent view, because the movement of Karbala is one of the most profound, significant, salient, pivotal pieces of this huge, universal, extremely complex, detailed, precise plan devised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the very salvation of mankind. Sometimes I think to myself that once I'm old and frail and retired and I don't have bills and mortgage to pay off, I'd sit down and I'd translate all the lectures and books that I read on this that inspired me to have a more decent understanding of this event and to be able to connect with it on a more spiritual and intellectual level rather than just emotional. And that's the thing. Being emotional about it is absolutely fine as well, because it's very comprehensive, the movement of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. But just crying for him because it's sad does not provide us with that optimal degree of growth. There is a degree of growth in it. Anything you do, the smallest step you take for Imam al-Hussein, there is growth in it. But it's not enough. And one of the key roles within this movement evidently was played by the Ahlul Bayt of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, i.e. Imam al-Sajjad salawatullahu salamu alayhi and Sayyidah Zainab salamu alayha. The role that Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam and Sayyidah Zainab and the rest of the Ahlul Bayt, the daughters, the wives, the cousins of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam played, was so important that on the night, on the eve of Ashura, Imam al-Hussein turned to his companions and said, "You're absolved of the allegiance you have to me. The bay'ah has been lifted. You may use the cover of night and escape this place. These people, their business is with me. They want me killed. And whatever mission that needs to be carried out, my Ahlul Bayt will suffice." Through this, we understand how heavy a responsibility Imam al-Sajjad and Sayyidah Zainab salamullah alayhi had, and how immaculately they carried it out. Another lesson that we can take from the events of Karbala, especially the aftermath, especially the part carried out by Sayyidah Zainab and Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, is that from the very moment Sayyidah Zainab bid farewell to her brother in the most brutal way possible, and the most beloved person in her life, Hujjatullahi ala khalqih, the figure around whom the universe circulates, Sayyidah Zainab salamullah alayha had to say goodbye to him. And then after that, the Ahlul Bayt faced a sort of trauma, abuse, hostility, insult that I wish and hope none of us has to face in this lifetime. And they coped it in the period of 40 days, give or less, right? And at the end of it all, when their foe asked her mockingly, ridiculing her and her pain, that, did you see what happened to you? Did you see how we totally destroyed and annihilated you and your loved ones? Sayyidah Zainab sallallahu alayha said, in all confidence, all conviction, utter certainty, without a shadow of doubt, that I saw nothing but beauty. And that is only possible when you place yourself within that great, universal, grand, divine plan we talked about at the beginning. We live our entire lives in alignment, in accordance, with awareness, with mindfulness, with knowledge, with ma'rifatullah. And then we watch Allah move us around and finally lead us toward that final, ultimate objective. And then we will see nothing but beauty, just like Sayyidah Zainab. And I think this is one of the reasons why we are encouraged and advised by the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam to always think about the sorrows of the Ahlul Bayt, especially Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam, when we ourselves are going through a hardship. Fabkil al-Husayn. It's not in order to undermine our sorrow or belittle it, you know, or invalidate it in any way. Our pain, our struggle is very much real. And we're not trying to say that, oh, better people went through worse, so mine is nothing, I should stop complaining. No, not at all. On the contrary, we look at those better people and how they went through difficulties and how they coped with it. How through all of those difficulties, they didn't turn into depressed, broken, beaten down, dysfunctional human beings, severed from all sorts of normalcy and no longer capable of contributing to society. They did the exact opposite. By looking at the sorrow of the Ahlul Bayt, we learn that if you have Allah with you, if you put yourself as a part of Allah's plan, through every hardship, like Sayyidah Zainab and Imam al-Sajjad, you will be able to tap into your full potential. And you will be able to see nothing but beauty, not just in the beautiful things, but in your pain. The Ahlul Bayt, they teach us to bloom, they teach us to flourish through the pains and the hardships we face in life. La yom ke yomike ya Aba Abdullah. I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty, wherever you are.